Question 40. What is a man advantaged if he gains the whole world and is cast away? Luke 9:25. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? To be cast away, what a thought. It seems the scriptures give us two modes of damnation, one of which is to never be found or recovered from the sinful state into which we unalterably placed ourselves in our youth. Many continue in this way of carnality, seeking gain and betterment of themselves and their estates, but never dealing with the question of their basic depravity. Ironically, their inherent knowledge of this depravity or lacking is the basis for the psychological need to advance and improve and gain wealth, etc. Yet this root cause is never dealt with. It's never even addressed. To consider this situation is sad from a Christian's viewpoint. We are amazed that some people never find, nor even search for, the wonderful gift of being touched by God's grace, thereby experiencing new birth, by which old things are gone and all things are become new. Job 8:20. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man. The other mode of damnation is the one mentioned here in Job and in our subject, and is termed being cast away. In modern vernacular, it would be termed thrown away, as one throws away trash. In this case, the object in question has been examined, deemed worthless, and tossed aside as useless, unusable, or of no redemptive value. To apply this, look at the mental processes used for determining trash. For example, we find a magazine as we're cleaning. We pick it up to throw it away, and we mentally sort through its pages, remembering the information we read in it, perhaps the pictures we saw in it. We wonder if it's worth saving as a reference or for enjoying again or giving to someone else that may enjoy it. At last, we determine it has no use, no value, and we throw it away. It becomes trash. To determine an old magazine to be trash is one thing. To apply that process to a human being is another. One is inconsequential. The other is tragic. For God to look through a life and see nothing worth saving or even of interest to him, to see no sign of loyalty or true affection toward him, is sad on his behalf, but upon ours, it's frightening. How does a person find himself or herself in this state? How can we avoid such an event? Jesus taught that those who seek to preserve the lower life would lose the higher life. He said in Luke 17:33, "Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." This concept is peculiar in regard to its appearance in all four of the gospel records, as if it were a hallmark of his preaching. The concept appears in four different topics of Christ's teachings as well. It appears when he speaks of the risk of being killed as followers of him. In Matthew 10:39, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." It appears when he speaks of his own crucifixion in John 12:25. "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." When explaining that a person must deny himself, take up the cross, and follow him, he ends with, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it." Luke 9:24. And finally, after he rebukes Peter for suggesting the carnal way of making Christ king by avoiding the cross, he explains, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it." Mark 8:35. Seeks, finds, saves, and loses. Notice the four transitive verbs used in these examples to describe preserving our life. Seeking, finding, and saving our lives are all acts of desperation because of the intrinsic knowledge that our lives are transitory, elusive, and fleeting. These three are acts we perform to make ourselves feel alive by evoking emotions. This often takes the form of entertainment of all sorts, watching sports, gossip, high-energy music. The list is too long and embarrassing to enumerate. The fact is, we are in a dying mode because of our sin. We don't like to face this, and therefore we seek and hope to find and hope to save ourselves. The lesson we must learn is that we are dying. We must admit why and make preparation. Our lives are like an old pocket watch with a broken winding stem you'd find in a musty old drawer. Unable to wind it, we helplessly only shake it. It ticks for a while, it stops. We shake it again. It's useless. It may run, but not long, and never accurately. If the worldly man reaches success in his attempts to save himself, the eventuality of his redemption becomes even more hopeless and less likely. For this causes in him the fourth condition Jesus described. He begins to love this life. If a man, yet in his sins, becomes successful in the world, he becomes harder to win. If for no other reason, he's seemingly winning the game, and it's hard to convince him that he will ultimately lose everything. It's like trying to convince a gambler as he drags his winnings across the table toward his chest that the deck is marked or the dice are loaded. This delusion of winning is one of the reasons why Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." When we're dealt into this game, we need to realize no one walks away a winner. The deck is marked. The dice are loaded. Note that all four of the acts, seeking, finding, saving, and loving our life in this world, all end with the same statement. Those seeking, finding, saving, and loving life shall lose it. All of these attempts to win, preserve, promote, and gain end in loss. This fourth condition, loving this life, is the most insidious one, as it affects the Christian as well. Even though you're well aware of your state of being, and after having committed your life to Christ, you may still fall into this trap. If you, as a Christian, find yourself seeking life, pleasure, entertainment, and diversion, and you find what you're looking for outside of the Christian experience, or you attempt to preserve, empower, lengthen, or enhance this lower life, you need to reevaluate your Christian experience. You must be vigilant and suspicious of all your motives and actions. You should, as a Christian, find Christ to be all-sufficient in the areas of pleasure and entertainment. And if you do, diversion will become ridiculous. Loving the lower ego animal life affects Christians more so than the lives of the people of the world, for it is the only life the worldly man knows. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Again, we find the concept of being cast away. Paul's concern in this area and his motivation for keeping his physical body under control was his fear of being cast away. There are prevalent in our Christian society those who teach that there's nothing to fear in this area. But we cannot find that unconditional assurance in the Scriptures, nor in the Spirit within us. The Scriptures and the Holy Spirit both witness to the necessity of a sober, diligent approach to the Christian life to enable us to have and to hold this confidence steadfast unto the end. Affection for the world makes us worthless to God, and His final evaluation will find in us no love for Him. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Lord warned you that you are not to give this life any consideration, even unto death. You're not to fear them who kill the body. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed, hath the power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. For what is a man advantaged, if he gain the whole world, and lose himself, or be cast away?